the opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
HEE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I think the better team won, and I did not think that going in. I thought the Patriots were clearly the better team, especially with Gronkowski and Edelman, and I came away very impressed by what Denver did.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots' offense is clearly better than the Broncos, and when we think of the best teams nowadays, especially we think of teams that can move the ball around at will. I think it's kind of cool that the two best defenses in the league are playing for a championship now. I find it obnoxious when you overtly celebrate individual things when your team is not very good. But now, Cam doesn't have that haunting him anymore. Dance away.
I'm not really a fan of it, but you know what I do like? That dude is having fun playing football. I like seeing that. And I think it's kind of helped the whole team, as a matter of fact.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Johnny Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Hope you're having a great Monday. Hope you're having a safe trip home. Sit back, relax. We'll get you there. Miss the first 2 hours, you miss some of what you just heard. And all available at podcastarena.com. You can also get that great new app, the ESPN 97.5 app, where you can basically listen to anything and everything that we do here. So go check those things out. And we were talking at the end of the hour there about Texas and whether or not it's still a powerhouse. And Jacob says 18-year-old kids coming out now don't even remember when UT was a powerhouse. Well, I'll just tell you this. There were 18-year-old kids who didn't remember that Alabama was a powerhouse right when Nick Saban got there. That's really the key to programs like that.
There were 18-year-old kids who, well, first of all, there's 18-year-old kids who have seen the 30 for 30s that they run on that 2005 Texas team, the Rose Bowl game and things like that. And a lot of 18-year-old kids were already, they were in their formal years when Colt McCoy and those guys went and lost to Alabama in the championship game. They still remember when Texas was good. The problem is that was the last time they were really, really good was 2009.
And just keep
it was a while ago.
Keep in mind, there was a 30-year gap there where Texas was not Texas either.
Exactly. I mean,
they had a few years where Fred Akers got them up there, but then there was that long stretch before Mack where they were just another program. Yep. And you get the right guy in there, it'll make the difference. By the way, you see Fox News tweeted out their poll for the 2016 GOP nominee among Iowa GOP likely caucus goers.
What's funny is I haven't seen that. I did see something this week over the weekend they posted who was polling best in Iowa.
Yeah.
And they had Rand Paul fourth, but they had Jeb Bush's picture above Rand Paul's name. I was like, that's such a Fox News move to like push the guys that they like and get rid of the ones they don't.
Rand Paul is fifth right now, so that probably made a difference.
Okay.
So here's the latest. Trump, 34%. Cruz, 23%. Rubio, 12%. Carson, 7%. Paul, 6%. Bush, 4%. Christie, 4%. Huckabee, 2%. Kasich, 2%. Santorum, who is he even in the race?
He's supposedly going to be the next guy to drop out of the race.
Okay. 2%. And Fiorina, 1%.
Boy, you remember when she was like a hot thing for a minute?
Yeah, well,
I guess Ben Carson was too, and he's almost out of it as well. Yeah. The bad thing is, I feel like probably the two worst options are the two that are leading. And I've been pretty consistent that those two guys are the worst options, and they're the two that have the best chance of winning, obviously. Yeah, I think it's great that Ted Cruz got an endorsement from Rick Perry today. I mean, congratulations.
Okay, worst endorsement. Rick Perry for Ted Cruz or Sarah Palin for Donald Trump?
Yeah, I mean, you got to throw in Lindsey Graham for Jeb Bush,
too. There's that, too, yeah.
I mean, that's why I'd be like, no, hey, just don't tell anybody this, Rick. I'm doing pretty well right now. Let's just, you keep your business to yourself. How about that?
Hey, we got, speaking of Iowa, we got Iowa guy on the phone. What's up, Iowa guy?
Sports, gentlemen.
Sports to you, Iowa guy.
Hey, look, I know that I'm not, I know you guys aren't. I'm not really a fan of November and December basketball. And when we beat Penn State, I'm sorry, AJ will make fun of me for saying we like I'm on the team. When Iowa beat Penn State at home, they didn't have Denzel Valentine, so I didn't want to call in. I figured you guys would be like, well, the best player. Well, then they had him, and Iowa beat him in East Lansing, and then completed the sweep of Purdue. I believe we're ranked third now. I don't know if you guys have started following basketball yet, or if you're just still clinging on to the last bit of our football we got going. But
well, if you know me, I follow basketball. College basketball anyway,
all year long.
Mm-hmm. Iowa's a good team. I wouldn't, the Purdue win, I've been saying Purdue is a quitting team. I don't like Purdue. Early in the year, I thought maybe they were the kind of team who could make a run, but I've watched them play in some of these big games. They've got no chance. They're not as good as their record states. Iowa's a good team though. They've had a good start to the season. I think that you might be calling it a bad time because their next game is at Maryland, and you might not want to talk after that happens. But as of now, yeah, Iowa looks pretty good. I still think that Maryland's the best team in the Big Ten, but Iowa's right there in that conversation.
How good is Aggie?
Ridiculously good. They're very good, and I picked them to win the SEC this year over Kentucky. That's not even going to be a conversation. They're in the top five, which I think is the highest ranking in the history of their program, and they deserve to be. That's a very, very good team. I think that you're gonna see that team win a couple games in the tournament.
Is there somebody outside the top 15 that you think can make a deep run?
Outside the top 15?
Yeah. Because usually by now
the one team that's I don't have the rankings in front of me. I would guess Arizona's probably outside the top.
Yeah, Arizona's 18. Yeah.
That's the one team that I would say.
Yeah, Louisville, Baylor, Arizona, Indiana, Kentucky, Purdue, Wichita State, Oregon, Duke, Notre Dame.
I'd say Arizona and Louisville are the two teams that you mentioned that are interesting to me. Duke is just, I don't think they're very good. I think people are having a hard time grasping the fact that Duke's not very good because Duke's always good. But they've got six players. That's their team, and only about half of them can score. I'm out on them. I called this weekend. I was on Temple over SMU. I didn't think they'd blow them out, but SMU their run comes to an end. One of the teams I like that's kind of if you've got the rankings up in front of you, I'd like to know where Providence is because Providence is one of those teams that that's a dark horse Final Four team.
Yeah,
for
I don't have them up anymore. My apologies.
Best point guard in the country, and that's a good basketball team. So I'm enjoying the basketball this year. I think there's some good teams, but there's not that runaway good team like there has been the last several years. It's mostly been Kentucky, but I think there's a lot of teams right now that can win that tournament.
All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Nothing wrong with getting a little college basketball talk in there.
But, Every once in a while.
Well, we'll hit on your Rockets and how excited AJ was for yesterday's victory. Now that Josh Smith is back, we'll do that when we come back.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that because a lot of people wanted to talk to me about it. And everyone was like, you have to admit now the Rockets are a different team with Josh Smith. And it's like all of those people missed Friday's game.
We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll also take some phone calls. 713-780-ESPN. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN.
97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
You're already a big part of this team.
I mean, I feel comfortable, man. I mean, you know, it might have been a little different story if I was my first time getting to know these guys. But being able to, you know, to be a good opportunity to play for the same team around the same people, guys, it's awesome.
And we are back on the Blitz. I think that was Josh Smith. I couldn't really make out anything he said.
That was my bad.
Oh, well. These things happen. Yeah, one game, guys. And let's not forget they were down 11 to the Mavericks in the third quarter. And so it's not like, you know, where was that Josh Smith impact up until then? You can't suddenly say, oh, boy, they're back. Talk to me again at the end of the week when they play the Pelicans tonight. They get the Spurs and then the Thunder.
Well,
let's take a look at the end of the week if that really makes that big of a difference.
Let's not forget he shot 42% from the field in that game against the Mavericks, which was the best he shot since December 18th, since your birthday, Fred.
Wow. Wow.
That's been a while.
It has been.
So
I'm almost dead now.
Yeah, and the game before that, Friday night's game against Milwaukee, he was 1 of 10 from the field, including 0 of 4 from three. So everybody that was, you remember in the playoffs when he had games like that, and everybody's like, "Oh, we got to get rid of this guy. He sucks." Well, yeah, this is what he does. He'll have a good game every once in a while, but for the most part, he's not a very good player anymore.
Yeah, just, guys, give it a few games before you start. You cannot, it's hard enough to overreact to football games when there's 16 of them. But with basketball, you can't say suddenly, oh, they're this or they're this. Because if they lose tonight and then lose to the Spurs and then lose to the Thunder and they're back under 500, what are you going to be saying then? Let's see how the week goes.
By the way, the 14 shot attempts that he had against Dallas, season high.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, maybe he's a better fit here and helps, but you can't. Let's not react after two games. Let's try Martin. Wants to weigh in on this. What's up, Martin?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, I just want to say I actually got a chance to attend the game yesterday, and although Josh Smith did contribute a lot, I agree with a lot of things that you guys were saying about him. He just doesn't have that impact to take the team to the next level. And there were a lot of times where he was at the three-point line and you just knew he was going to shoot it. Everybody was just holding his breath. But one thing I did want to ask you guys was at some point in the third quarter, I think they went with like a lineup that had Lawson, Capella, Ariza, Boozer, and I think Smith was on the floor as well. Correct me if I'm wrong. But that was really the turning point of the game where the offense got going. And I think if you get Lawson and Harden and they're not on the floor at the same time, that's when the offense really starts moving, and I'll just hang up and
say. I do think Lawson is finally starting to show a few flashes, and you're right. I think not having those guys on the floor at the same time works. Hey, that's fine. If he's going to come in there when Harden's not in there and keep the offense going, then great. I still think your best hope for this team being anything other than a first-round casualty is for that guy to get his act together and start becoming the player that he was. And maybe it's taken this long for him to adjust, and maybe he'll continue to adjust. But, yeah, again, it's just so hard because sometimes matchups work against one team. They won't work against another. I think before we start bleeping each other's bleeps just yet, gentlemen, let's let this week play out.
Right.
Then we'll sit down and talk about it. All right, let's grab a couple calls here. Jacob, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Sports to you.
Yeah, I just wanted to elaborate a little bit more on that tweet about the recruits. You know, one, Texas up there with California and Florida produced probably the best college recruits in the nation. And these kids coming out now, you know, yeah, they did see the end of UT's era, you know, as a powerhouse. But, you know, the thing I'm saying is, they're, you know, now they're seeing SEC and you know, Pac-12 to you know, the point now where we're losing a lot of those recruits in Texas going to other Power 5 conferences or even to Baylor or TCU over Texas now. So, I mean, this Texas is just falling off. They're in a rebuilding time, but it's going to be a while before they get back to what they were. And we retain those top 100 blue chip prospects.
Well, I don't know that it'll have to take a while. I think it depends on who comes up, who the next coach is, or if Charlie Strong really did have this program in place where, you know, next year they're going to actually be something. But I think that obviously the SEC is playing a lot bigger role in Texas than it did before A&M went to the SEC. And that sort of opened the door for a lot more Texas recruits to go to the SEC, which is fine. But at the end of the day, you know, Texas football is still Texas football, and they should still get some of these top recruits out of the state of Texas. I mean, for the entire time I covered Texas football when I was in Austin, I mean, when there would be like two or three guys on that on the entire roster, like out of 100, that weren't from the state of Texas. I mean, it was almost pure Texas kids, and they won a national championship with that. To play at Texas, if you weren't either a legacy player, like Casey Studdard wasn't from Texas and Lau Sinline weren't, but their dads played at Texas. The other guys who came from out of state were Ricky Williams, Chris Sims, like the top recruits in the country. You know what I mean? So I still think it's possible. I just don't know if they have the right guy. And until they do, I don't think you – I mean, if you don't have the right coach, I don't think that there's any program that's slump-proof.
But in truth, for everybody that wants to write off UT, just look at Michigan. And
yeah, look how quickly he's coming back.
And all it takes is the right guy. And I don't know if Charlie's the right guy. It may be that these recruits he's getting are perfect for what he wants to do, and you will see that quick turnaround.
Yeah.
But I do think at this point, you know, year three, this is a huge year for him. And if we see them take that step forward, then you'll start seeing the high-profile recruits again, too. And not always, high-profile recruits aren't always necessarily the way to go, but you need some of those kids, yeah, obviously. All right. Dan Vigo says, listening to us while traveling makes it better. Sports to you from Japan. Hashtag nice. Japanese scotch is damn good. I'm jealous, Dan Vigo. I love Japanese women.
Japanese scotch?
I've never tried Japanese scotch. I have tried Japanese women, though, and I'm a fan. Let's try one more on this. Tom. What's up, Tom?
Sports to you.
Real quick on the Texas recruiting thing. I can break it down to you real easily on the difference between a Mack Brown recruit and a Charlie Strong recruit. Mack Brown will get his guys to commit a good year in advance. He would not allow them to take other official visits. If he did, he would pull their scholarships. He was real namby-pamby about it. He didn't play the game, and Charlie Strong does play the game. A good example of that is there's a kid this year that he had offered earlier in the year as a three-star rated recruit. And after the kid's senior year, he is now a 4 to 5 star recruit because Charlie evaluated him properly and has offered him, and he's going to be part of this class, which right now I think is ranked early 30s, early 40s, depending on what service you look at. But National Signing Day I think is going to be a big-time eye-opener for the country because there are a lot of kids that – are 18 years old and very aware of Texas, and they're very aware of what's going on up there right now. And it's funny because you said how A&M had opened up the door to the SEC. When a kid goes to Texas and gets recruited, he's shown history and championships and players and all this stuff. When he goes to A&M, they chant SEC, SEC, and those players end up signing with LSU and Alabama and Ole Miss. So there's a big difference. And my prediction will be that Charlie Strong, I hope he can get the job done, but Charlie Strong will pull a top 10 class this year, if not a top 5 class, by next Wednesday. And I will hang up and listen to what you have to say.
If he gets a top 5 class, I think that that's going to give him a little bit of breathing room. I would be surprised if that happened, though.
Yeah, you're going to have to flip a lot of kids. 37, according to 247. And Rivals has them at right about the same place, if I'm not mistaken. No, Rivals has them, well, 48.
Yeah, you ain't turning that into a top five.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you mentioned A&M, but we talked about this. And I think these rankings are pretty meaningless. But the highest rated schools in Texas, Baylor 10th, TCU 14th, this is according to Rivals, Houston 25th. And then it's a pretty good drop off before you get to, I can't find A&M on here. I thought Aggie had moved up, but I don't see them on the list. Oh yeah, the Aggie's 15. So Aggie is third highest. And then Texas is 48th on this one, behind Texas Tech. But again, it doesn't matter because if you're getting the right kids that fit your program, you're fine in the 30s.
Yeah.
You just need to get a couple of stars. And when they were recruiting five stars, you'll remember this from being up there. Mac would get 8 5-star guys, and five of them would be useless.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's just a matter of getting the guys that fit. And like I said, we'll find out this year.
All right, let's go to my man, Aubrey Theodi, who never calls on Monday, but look at this. He's called on a Monday. I'm so excited. Aubrey Theodi, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. I'm lamenting my 50% picks on the playoffs this weekend. So, you know, that Outdoors XL audience, you know, I guess the grouping between us, you know, training them how to pick six. You know, I got every game perfect. Only missed one game in a playoff so far. And I've never won pick six against the audience in the last 6 weeks. I picked the games perfect, and they beat me on the score.
Step your game
up. You know, on the tiebreakers. It's just unbelievable. I hate competing against this audience here.
What do you guys got going on at Dirt Free?
Love that kind of tenacity. You guys, when you dial 281 Dirt Free, if you really want to compete and see the finest of any carpet cleaning service on the earth, I mean, we come out with the big guns. You know, we come out with the all-pro team, a super water, Chem-Free pre-spot, a giant machine that's running off the diesel engine. No one can match up for us at every position. It's just impossible. When we start in the worst area, we'll prove our boast, because if you don't love what you see, you don't pay. So we'll start in the worst area of tile, grout, leather drapes, upholstery, air ducts, wool rugs, don't matter. If you don't love it, you won't pay for it. We'll go on to another job. 281 Dirt Free, 281 Dirt Free, dirtfreecarpet.com. $100 for 3 rooms of carpet cleaning. We'll give you $100 free speed dry, and we'll discount any of the services right now by being one of the first 20 callers to 281 Dirt Free.
All right. That's Aubrey Theodi, always giving great deals. Best of luck with you with your game next year, my man.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. John just pointed out some breaking news. Patriots have reportedly fired offensive line coach Dave Duglielmo, according to Ian Rappaport.
Yeah, because that's his fault.
Yeah, I guess somebody had to be punished for that.
Yeah.
All right, let's grab a quick phone call. Steve, you are on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Yeah, sports.
Sports to you, man.
Yeah, so it was about this time last year, maybe a couple of months before the draft, I asked you guys what you thought the trade value of Jadeveon and Clowney was, and you both agreed absolutely nothing. I'm wondering if you still believe that. We couldn't get nothing for him, or nobody would even take him. Because I'm thinking the best way the Texans need to look forward is not this year for a quarterback, but try and do whatever they can to get Deshaun Watson, because that kid is the real deal.
Well,
all right, guys, I'll leave that to you. Thanks.
Steve, if you called and asked this last year, then you're going to get almost the exact same answer this year. It's not that there's no value. It's just there's no way you can trade him because of his contract. If you traded him right now, there'd be $13 million in dead money. You'd have minus $7 million in cap savings. So that's money that's just completely lost off your cap. If you do it in 2017, you have $7 million in dead money, zero cap savings. And that's basically his cap number. So you'd be, you know...
You wouldn't get anything.
You're getting rid of him. Yeah, you're getting rid of him just to get him off your roster at that point. The first time you can actually move the guy would be 2018. And that's just the way the contract works. So what you would have to, I mean, for what you could get in return, you're married to the guy for at least another 2 years.
Yep.
And that's pretty simple. I mean, and that's the thing. And there's a great resource that I highly recommend to you guys, overthecap.com, where you can go and it'll show you the dead money and cap savings if you get rid of a guy. And, for instance, if you cut Dwayne Brown in 2018, you'll save $9.75 million with no dead money. So, but a contract like that is untradeable anyway. So I hope that answers it for you. And I think next year, if you call and ask the same question, I'll probably say, you got him for another year. It would be really punitive. The Texans would have to get something amazing back. And then whatever they got, that's going to hit them on the cap too. So I think it would be... I think it's highly unlikely that you'll see anything unless they've just decided, okay, we've got to get rid of him. ATX says, Brady got touched. Someone must pay. Yeah, well, Brady got more than touched.
Yeah.
That dude got beat around. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. I mean, I guess in 2017, basically, you'd have his salary on the books, and if you traded him, you're basically just eating $7 million for the year, and you're not getting anything out of it. So, oh, well, one of those things. I mean, that's what happens when you draft a guy number one. And, especially if Texans cut Clowney, how much money will they save? It's the same number.
Yeah.
Trading and cutting a guy is the exact same thing. So
it hurts your cap the same way.
Right. And it's just one of those, in this case, you got to live with it. Because if you make a move like that, it's going to put you behind the eight ball for a couple of years. And this is the first year where they're actually going to have some cap room to play with if they do things right. That's the last thing you want to do is waste it. One more. Tyson. Go, Tyson.
Yeah, hey, I just had a question. I was just saying, going back to that draft with Jadeveon Clowney, you know, of course people could say, you know, hindsight 2020, but would you go ahead and go get Khalil Mack? I know personally I liked him out of Buffalo. I feel like he was a natural pass rusher. And, of course, now he's all pro in two different positions and all the things like that. But what would you guys think, you know, about picking Khalil Mack? How good would this defense be if we did have a true pass rusher on the side opposite of J.J.? I think I'll be listening.
Well, obviously.
The thing is, I think Jadeveon Clowney is a true pass rusher. I just think that he's had a hard time staying healthy. And I also think that not all of it's his fault, because they put him out there on that crappy turf that they finally fixed after he blows out his knee on it.
Yeah, Khalil Mack could have easily blown out his knee on that too.
Yeah, I'm a snob, and so I'm big on strength of competition, and Khalil Mack being out of Buffalo. If I had the very first pick in the draft, do I think that a kid that played college ball at Buffalo is probably the best choice? And just considering what he's going to see, the changes he's going to see going from a place like Buffalo to the NFL is just massive. So if you'd asked me at the time, I would have said, I like Khalil Mack a lot. I'd take Jadeveon Clowney over Khalil Mack.
And, you know, as of today, sure, if you could flip-flop him, you would. But
there were a lot of people who thought Anthony Barr should go above Jadeveon Clowney. There are a lot of people who thought Greg Robinson should be the first pick. Greg Robinson's terrible.
Yeah, he's been and
he's not just hurt. He's just not good. Jadeveon Clowney's at least when he's out there, he looks like he could play.
Yeah, in reality is, I think next year is going to be a huge year for Clowney. If he stays healthy and has the kind of year that I think he's capable of having, then we'll have a totally different conversation at this time next year. It's like, you know what? Maybe they did get it right. And if not, if he gets hurt again, that's when you start saying, okay, they probably blew it. But a lot of teams would have blown it there.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number. Man, I, a lot of stuff I wanted to get to that we didn't get to today, but that's all right. We'll do it tomorrow. I wanted John to talk Royal Rumble because apparently that was
Did you watch it, John?
No.
Do you still pay for the subscription thing?
No.
Oh, okay.
I haven't paid for that in quite some time.
So you're broken up totally with WWE, huh?
Yeah, only if I see some stuff on like Twitter or whatnot.
Yeah.
Why were people melting down over that last night?
People were mad.
Oh, because the old ass, broke ass Triple H won the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
won the title.
People did not like that. There was like people legitimately, and this is so frustrating for me because there's people that I actually like know and respect and follow on Twitter, and they were legitimately upset that Triple H had won the Royal Rumble. And I was like, I mean, who cares? But apparently it's a big deal.
Who was supposed to win?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't have the answer.
So was it that Roman Reigns guy?
Triple H was the betting favorite, which makes me think. And I know that I read a story, I saw something on TV about that guy a couple years ago who was like finding out the like what was going to happen before it happened. Like someone was feeding him insider info.
Yeah.
So now, to me, the betting line, when you just pick the favorite, that's the way to go. Except for the time when I picked Brock Lesnar to beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And I was the smartest man in the room when I actually won money betting on pro wrestling.
Wow.
What'd you get for that? Like the odds?
I don't remember. I mean, it was like something like, it was ridiculous. It was like plus, it was 15 to 1 or 20 to 1 or something like that. I mean, I bet $10 on it. It's pro wrestling.
Yeah,
I
wasn't exactly.
Making a serious investment. But I did. I was proud of myself that my one pro wrestling bet has been successful.
This is another one of those questions that we get about 8 times a week. Is there any way they can have Merciless and Clowney on the field at the same time? They had him on the same field. They had him on
several
the same
times.
Time. A lot of times. They move Clowney around. When he's healthy, yes, they're going to have them both on the field at the same time. Sometimes they'll have them on the same side, but they played a majority of the time together when he was actually out there. I don't know why that question keeps coming up over and over again.
All right, guys. I've been telling you for a while about Deep South Barrels because I'm trying to save you money. You know what I mean? You can go out and you could just buy bad booze and then you could drink it and then you could feel like crap. You'd be hungover. You'd have that harsh burning feeling when you drink it. That's not good. It's cheap. It's gross. That's probably some of the whiskey you've got in your liquor cabinet right now. Deep South Barrels in Pearland has a solution for it. Take that bad whiskey, age it in one of their personalized 2-liter barrels that expedites the aging processes, removes the impurities, and adds a smoother, smokier flavor, and you can do it right in your own home. You can do it over and over and over again, too. Join the movement. Support a local business while you're at it. Go to deepsouthbarrels.com. These guys have been good to us. Show them some love. Check them out. Use promo code Hoffman to get 10% off your entire order. You can customize the barrel just for you. Deep South Barrels, deepsouthbarrels.com. Remember that promo code to save 10% off your entire order. That promo code, once again, Hoffman, deepsouthbarrels.com.
ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. The official ESPN 97.5 app is now available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com, and that page is very cool. And Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis coming up at 7. I heard him out there yelling, so I'm not sure what's going on with that. But, hey, let's give something away. How about you win a 4-pack of tickets to Sam Houston Race Park? Don't call unless you want these, because this is a lot of people are going to want these tickets because this is the biggest race card that they're going to have. You're going to win a 4-pack of tickets to Sam Houston Race Park to join me for live thoroughbred racing. Enjoy a complimentary buffet, sit in the special ESPN section this Saturday, January 30th, special 5 p.m. post time. And we're having that free handicapping contest. All you have to do is pick the most winners. You get a dinner for four at the Winner's Circle restaurant. Watch, wager, and win at Sam Houston Race Park. Caller 15. This is for the Houston Ladies Classic Saturday night, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock is when I will be there. And caller 15. All right. You ready?
We're ready. Let's start with travel problems. Apparently the TSA is coming down hard on a man who, he was packing what he calls a Klingon batleth, which I don't know much about Star Trek.
I do know Klingons, but I don't know much about their weapons.
Have you ever
seen this? Oh, yeah. That's...
It looks kind of like something Batman would throw, but it's got sharp edges all over it.
I'm just saying in defense of the TSA, I don't think I'm letting this on an airplane.
Oh, no. The TSA wants all Klingons to keep those weapons out of their carry-on bags. The agency discovered a weapon. It's basically a dual-edged, crescent-shaped scimitar is what
it
is.
Yeah, it's like a scimitar.
In a carry-on bag... at San Juan Luis Munoz Marin International Airport. Admittedly, the version of the TSA catch seems like it was smaller than the original Star Trek weaponry. It's not like a full-size sword.
Right.
This is like a miniature one.
Still, you can do some damage with that.
Bladed items are generally allowed in check bags, but not carry-ons. However, this is not the first time the agency's caught someone trying to carry on something like this. They found a similar weapon at LaGuardia in 2012. And apparently, they've got tons of these. They keep a log of all these batarangs and things like that that people try to carry in their carry-on bags. It's not a good idea. You cannot pack your Klingon or Batman weaponry in your carry-on bag, even if you're going to to some sort of honor dispute. Yeah, I mean, you've got something that you've got to go do with your Klingon nonsense. The TSA doesn't care if you're a booger eater. You can't do it. This is a good one. Rexburg, Idaho. Leland Ayala Doliente and Holland Sward had entered the state with 20 pounds of weed. Because Ayala Doliente, I guess, was... I don't know how this happens, but while they were hauling pot, there was a 911 call that tipped off the police that they were in the area with the pot. The strange thing is... Leland Ayala Doliente is the one who placed the call. They were hauling pot from Vegas to Montana when at some point they broke the cardinal rule of dealing drugs. Don't get high off your own supply, as we all know that rule. They came to believe incorrectly that undercover cops were following them. Hi, we're the two dumbasses that got caught trying to bring some stuff through your border, and all your cops are just driving around like a bunch of jack wagons, and I'd just like for you guys to end it. The entire scene... played out on the audio of a call and asked if they have weapons. No, just a bunch of snacks and stuff. They also have, quote, a really nice pit bull. Speaking to Sward, Ayala Doliente says to the dispatcher, he's a nice guy. Want me to jump in the air and click my heels twice or what? We tried waving them down. This is the Phantom undercover cops, and that didn't work. I wonder why. They're both charged with felony drug trafficking, given that their haul had a street value of $16,000. And Sward received a 5-year suspended sentence, 5 years of probation, and a month in jail. Ayala Doliente, who tested positive for pot, cocaine, and oxycodone on his November sentencing day, received 1.5 to 8 years in prison. That's what you get for calling 911 on yourself.
Dumbass!
As well. And I usually don't like to call the cops dumbasses. An 86-year-old Brooklyn man was tasered twice by cops responding to a call about a suicidal man in his 20s. Now, if I'm an officer, I don't have to ask for ID to know if someone's in his 20s versus someone who's in his 80s, right?
You should be able to know that, yeah.
Well, they were somehow confused by this.
Oh, boy.
And they tased the guy twice. Yeah, he intends to file a $5 million lawsuit alleging that John Antoine was the victim of excessive force and was falsely charged with harassment. Antoine was in the kitchen holding a knife in one hand and an onion in the other when cops bursted into his apartment. A pot of soup was simmering on the stove. What makes this more outrageous is that members of the police department were given information that the situation they were called to involved a 23-year-old male, and they were in possession of that individual's name. The cops were supposed to be looking for the 23-year-old boyfriend of Antoine's granddaughter, who was said to be acting emotionally disturbed after he ran out of his meds. not wise officers.
Not wise, no. Guys.
And that is this week's Dumbass Report.
Boy, there's times where I just get totally confused. Lamont says, I must be mad about his Denver tweet. Cincy, man. I have no idea what Denver tweet you're talking about. I have no idea what I'm mad about. You're going to have to explain to me what tweet it is that I'm being sensitive about that I don't ever remember seeing or why it is that's the case.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. I have no earthly idea what you're talking about. All right, here we go. Let's give these away on the way out. Get revved up and ready for the 2016 Houston Auto Show. Win a 4-pack of tickets to see, feel, and experience 700 rides from 30 different automakers. Don't miss Camp Jeep's off-road dirt track this Thursday through Sunday at NRG Center. Tickets are available and $2 off at HoustonAutoShow.com. Get yours now and experience over 700,000 square feet of automotive excitement. Wonder if they'll let me drive one of those off.
I don't think
Caller 10-713-780-ESPN. That's going to wrap it up. Great job today by Jong Lee. Great job by A.J. Hoffman. Appreciate Stanford Rowe dropping by. We got Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis coming up next. I'm Fred Fowler. Till tomorrow, stay sporty, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.